You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
This morning, I spoke with National Chair of the Palestinian Solidarity Network, John Minto. I started off by asking him about the pro-Palestine protests at the Auckland ports that took place a few weeks ago. Palestine supporters had blocked the entrance of the Auckland ports in protest of Israel's shipping companies entering the port. I asked John about how this played out and what the impact of it were. We then spoke about the government's recent release of a joint statement with Canada and Australia, which essentially called for a ceasefire. I asked about what pressured the government into this and what it could mean for the future. To start off, I wanted to ask about the protests at the port that happened a few weeks ago in Auckland. There were two, I believe. First of all, how did they go?
Well, I think the protests in Auckland went really well. They, you know, people identified Zim Shipping as an Israeli company which is determined to do all it can to support Israel's war against Palestine. And what that means in reality, it's a genocidal massacre of Palestinians in Gaza. So there were two protests there. And on Monday of this week, down here in Christchurch, there was a protest at the Port of Lyttelton as well for the same company having a space on a ship which was in port. And so I think as time goes on, the focus is going to shift very much from just protesting to demanding boycotts of Israel and action to support Palestinian demand for BDS, which is boycott, divestment and sanctions.
There were some issues with the police's handling of the protesters. What were your sort of thoughts on that and how did that happen?
Well, I saw the video of the first protest and I thought the police action was absolutely just eye-openingly outrageous. Doing crash tackles of people who are simply standing there doing not very much at all was just outrageous. And I think ultimately that will end up in court, and certainly PSNA is doing all we can to make sure the people going to court have all the support, legal and whatever else is needed for them to defend those charges.
What kind of impact do not only these protests, but all actions, like you mentioned, that relate to consumerism, such as the boycotts or the Black Friday strikes, have on the genocide and the state of Israel as a whole?
Well, I think they have two effects. So there is the economic effect of these, you know, protests at the port, but even more importantly than that is the political impact, because it helps people to understand that it's important we boycott Israel, and that it helps to perhaps to broaden people's, you know, the general public's understanding of the fact that it's the people of the world joining hands through international boycotts that is going to bring real pressure on the US and Israel to end this genocidal war in Gaza.
Moving on to the government's joint statement last week with Canada and Australia, which continued to condemn Hamas's attacks while also expressing concern for Israel's current actions and essentially calling for a ceasefire. First of all, what were your thoughts on this?
Well, the first thought was that it's simply pathetic. They are prepared to condemn the killing of Israeli civilians, and that's right. The killing of civilians in wartime, hostile actions, is illegal under international law. It's a war crime under the Fourth Geneva Convention. They should condemn that. But they must condemn Israel's war crimes against the Palestinian people, because they are myriad. There are war crimes being committed every day, and yet they have refused to condemn Israel's actions. So they're effectively acting as apologists for Israel and putting the blame on Palestinians, which is an outrage when you consider Palestinians have suffered 75 years of military occupation. It seems to me that our politicians are responding by doing things which are making them look busy while not doing anything effective. They know the people of New Zealand expect the government to act, so they're voting the right way with United Nations resolutions. They are making this joint statement with Canada and Australia, but they're doing nothing that's effective in bringing pressure on the US or Israel to end what's going on in Gaza.
Do you think that the protests, marches, boycotts and other collective actions have led to something like this as a result of public pressure?
Oh, absolutely. Without the public pressure, I think we wouldn't be even being able to talk about a ceasefire. It is the fact that people around the world have come out in unprecedented numbers. I think we haven't seen international protests like this since the US orchestrated an invasion of Iraq in 2003. So we're 20 years away from something similar. And it's really good to see people coming out in these huge numbers, because it's those numbers that put intense pressure on governments, particularly Western governments, which need the pressure, because they're the ones who are standing with Israel rather than with the people of the world. Helps to bring pressure on those governments to act and ultimately bring an end to what's going on.
The statement sort of, it reaffirmed Israel's right to defend itself and to exist, while also saying that Palestinians had a right to statehood. Do you think there's some sort of inconsistency that's also indicating that in the long run, the solution will not be in favour of Palestine?
Oh, absolutely. What the New Zealand government, what the Five Eyes countries want, that's New Zealand, Australia, Canada and the UK and the US, what they want is this issue just to disappear. They're not interested in Palestinian human rights. They're interested in having Israel as a beachhead in the Middle East, the oil-rich Middle East, which the US can use to control the flow of oil around the world. So they have no real interest in that, and they're not committed to it at all. None of these countries have declared support for a Palestinian state, have recognized a Palestinian state. It's all been talk and no action. So we can't read anything into that. And to simply say Israel has a right to exist, well, Israel has no right to exist as an apartheid state, the same way that white South Africa had no right to exist as an apartheid state. And under international law, Israel doesn't have a right to defend itself. It has a right to protect itself, but the right to defend oneself is the right to wage war. Israel does not have a right to wage war against an occupied people, a people they are occupying, who are a protected people under international law.
That was John Minto, the National Chair of the Palestinian Solidarity Network, talking about the protests at the ports and the government statement regarding Palestine. We'll be back after this short break. Keep it on the beat.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.